Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But it also lets you, like for me, when I read that, I'm like, okay, this is valid for me to feel this way. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. Or and I know shaming yourself for feeling a certain way is never helpful.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Conversations Brewing.
Hey, everyone. I'm excited for this episode. We're going to dive into a fun topic that Ravisha and I love to dive into, which is personality tests.
I know. If you're anything like us, we love talking about personalities and personality traits. And as like we both have a psychology background, we've taken so many personality tests over the years. And so we're really excited to talk about personalities today.
Yeah. Everything like zodiac signs, personalities, we try to use it to guide our life, our decisions. So there are two parts of it is one that, yes, we love to do it. And two, interestingly or not interestingly, so Ravisha and I have a lot of overlap in our personality types. And then also as, I don't know if we ever mentioned this in one of our episodes, maybe we did, but our birthdays are 2 days apart in April. So we're both Aries too. So, you know, you can add that into the mix of our personality traits.
But also on top of that, what's so funny is like, even though we will have like we're both Aries and we're both the same in it, Enneagram and stuff, our person, like the way our personality, I guess, displays sometimes is like so different. So it's like on paper, we're like the same, but like how we actually act and stuff is like completely different, which I also find very interesting.
Yeah. I feel like that's why for the you and I, we've gotten along so well for all of these years, because to like the core, our internal states are so similar. But I think externally for a lot of people, sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, how do they get along, or how are they best friends? Because like the way we externally show up in the world is a lot different, which I also think goes back to, I don't know if you've done for your zodiac, the like sun, moon, rising, all that. But yeah, I was actually like at the wedding 2 weeks ago, getting everyone to look up their sun, moon, and rising to like understand themselves. But one of them, the moon is actually how you like internally perceive yourself, like your internal world. And then like your rising was like how the world perceives you. So for the both of us, it makes me think about it that way, that internally we get along, like our internal states are so similar. So we get along and really jive, but externally people perceive us to be different.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think I did look up what my moon rising was and stuff once, but I can't remember off the top of my head what it is.
Okay, well, we need to do a different episode.
We're the type of people that will send like all these Aries memes to each other and be like, oh my god, that's so true, that's so true, that's so us. Like, we're pretty obsessed with it.
Like to the point that even before I got married, I had to do a deep dive because my husband is an Aquarius and I'm an Aries, of like, are they compatible? And then I had to make sure our Enneagram types were compatible and our Myers-Briggs types. I mean, he actually checked all the boxes and it was comforting, but all of them, it was like, oh, an Aries is perfect with an Aquarius and an ENFP is perfect with an INTJ. So I was like, okay, cool, we can get married. But even with Ravisha on dates, like if she's telling me about a guy, we have to look up his zodiac sign.
We definitely look to see if there's some compatibility there.
Can't have it any other way.
Okay, so we'll just like kind of start by just defining what an Enneagram is. I'm sure a lot of people have seen this. I feel like over the past couple of years, I don't know if you would agree with me, Divya, but like a lot more people are talking about Enneagrams and like how, and like their personality type. So that's why we kind of wanted to talk about it today as well, because I think it's like a lot more apparent these days and people are like taking more of these tests. But an Enneagram is defined as a system of personality typing that describes patterns and how people interpret the world and manage their emotions. So it kind of is like a good, like maybe if you don't know how you would describe yourself or how like maybe with other people, you don't know how to describe yourself. Like this kind of test kind of tells you what kind of type you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a I feel it's definitely a newer personality test that's been coming out. And I think that people really like these tests, and myself included, is because it helps you like make sense of your own personality. It feels good to read something on paper and be like, oh my gosh, that was written for me. So I think that's why people really kind of identify themselves with these personality tests, because you feel seen almost. And so, yeah, this is a test I definitely felt really seen by.
And you can easily take this test. Like if you just Google Enneagram test, like, you know, there's a bunch on there. And so if you're ever like curious to know like more how you'd be like defined as and stuff, like, and there's always a lot of descriptions and stuff about what each type is as well. So it's really helpful. I feel like sometimes when you're like maybe trying to figure some part of you out and you're unsure.
Yeah. Do you want to break down for all our listeners what the 9 types are?
Yeah. So there are 9 types, and it goes perfectionist, helper, achiever, individualist, investigator, loyalist, enthusiast, and challenger. Mm-hmm. And yeah, although they don't specifically define your personality and who you are, it's more of like categorizing like like what you are more of. So like you might be a perfectionist, but that doesn't mean you don't have helper or achiever qualities. There's just, you're sometimes maybe more one than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like kind of like the roles that you end up taking on too.
Yeah.
Like your Enneagram type comes out a lot when you're in different like relationships, because you end up doing like for the both of us. I mean, I'll let Ravisha tell you all actually what we are.
Yeah, so the both of us are the type 2, which is the helper, funny enough. And I guess like a little bit about the helper to define it is that we're pretty empathetic, and we're always like caring for the people around us. And, you know, a lot of like self-sacrifice behaviors is like what we're like known for. So like if anyone needs a helping hand, like we're the first to like make sure we're like helping out. And it's like also like the empathy that we feel for others is like this type of personality type just feels it sometimes more strongly than the other personality types.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was this one quote that when I was looking up some of the stuff that I read that really reminded me of us. It was basically just like, as natural givers, they're generous with their time and energy with a glowing hope to bring out the best in others, which that I think just really speaks to us both in the core, like not only bringing out the best in each other in our friendships, but in our friendship with each other, but our friendships too. Like we always try seeing the best in people, and that can be a really great quality about us. It can also be a flawed quality in the way that we like are like, oh, everyone has good intentions. But I think the empathy is something that is a really strong defining a part of the helper too.
Yeah. Going off that too, it's something we both resonate with a lot, like being the empathizer. I think we both struggle with sometimes almost giving ourselves to other people more than to ourselves a lot of the times. And like, as we've mentioned in past episodes as well, like that's something we're working on, is trying to sometimes put ourselves as more of a focus than other people. And it's like not a bad thing, obviously, to like care for others and empathize with them. But what it does to like people like Divya and I, like is it kind of drains us emotionally sometimes. So if like when we're giving of the people around us way more than we can handle, that's when like we feel drained and can't like emotionally like be there for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when there's not reciprocity in the relationship, because I think with people who don't have like the type 2, like helper empath kind of personalities, not saying that other people who don't have that cannot do this, but I think that we have a lot more of a tolerance of, okay, I don't feel like this relationship is even, or there's not that much reciprocity, we keep giving like a benefit of the doubt, which I know we've talked about a lot, is that being a weakness and looking at the best in people, but that can leave us feeling drained too. Cause it's like, okay, one more time I'm going to help. One more time I'm going to let this slide. One more time I'm going to let this person disrespect my boundaries. But then it keeps adding on to these one more times to the point that we're like, I'm drained.
Yeah. And something about these like personality types as well, like Divya mentioned, like her and Roger are different types, but then, you know, they work together. That was a couple being these different types. Like, it's sometimes like a good way to determine if you need to understand your partner's needs and your partner needs to understand your needs by like kind of breaking it down like this. I think like any article out there really, but we'll also link the one that we used for today's episode, but it helps break down like how a certain personality type feels in certain situations. And sometimes like you can't communicate that because it's hard for you to do so, or you're not really realizing it yourself. And so like, that's what kind of like these personality type tests like define more so, like for other people that maybe understand you as well, when you don't really know how to like communicate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then it's like, we can also kind of understand and have empathy. In a way, we already have empathy, we're type twos, but have more empathy for people and what they're going through. One thing that I had found that actually when I had read this, it really helped me understand too, maybe the people around me, which it is the way that people make their decisions. And it was like the Enneagram types were put into three different categories, with the gut, like making decisions based on gut or instinct, intuition, another with heart and like your emotions and how you feel, and the other was head, so like thinking and logic. And with the gut and like the instincts, the types 8, 9, and 1 make decisions typically based on their gut feelings. And then heart with their emotions, types 2, obviously us, 3 and 4 make decisions based on how they feel. And then how people, and then based on people's like mind and their logic, the types 5, 6, and 7 typically make decisions based on that more. So honestly, when I read that, that made me feel a little like I understood that too, because Raj is like a type 9 and a wing 8. And he makes a lot of decisions based on like, oh, well, no, I just know it has to be this way. And a lot of the time I'm like, how? But he's doing it based on instinct. So when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. So maybe it can also help us empathize and understand that other people think differently, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's a really good breakdown, Divya, that you just went through, because sometimes like for me, like, yeah, I am definitely the heart type, like feeling like I like definitely think with my heart most of the time, like emotionally and stuff. And when maybe I'm trying to make a decision with someone that's more of intuitive and or like more of a gut instinct, like it's almost hard for me to really understand where they're coming from. So like when it's broken down like that, like it helps, it more so puts in a perspective how like you, like a lot of people might not think the same way as you do, and like this is why.
Yeah, and that's fine, because for us, we need to feel it in our heart and like know that's the right decision. But then other people are like either really thinking logically, that also rubs me the wrong way sometimes, because I'm yeah. like, okay, it's not always all about logic. Like, yeah, logic is important. I do believe there's a place for it. But I think so much with my heart and how I feel in certain moments. So, and I imagine people feel that with us too, honestly. They're probably like, where did you guys come up with that? And we're like, we just felt this way. But it really is useful to realize and like reaffirm people think differently.
Divya and I are the type of people that will make things more difficult for us to make it easier on someone else, like the time. And we'll be fine with it too. Like we'll like be discussing maybe something that like maybe one of the other person is like having to figure out or work out. And of course we're supporting one another because we're the same personality type, and we're like, oh yeah, that makes more sense. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. like do it this way. But like, I guess if someone else were to like hear this conversation that was more of like the lawyer, like, you know, more logical thinking, like they would disagree with us so much, right? And like not understand like where we're coming from. So it's really funny, like when it's like broken down like that, mm-hmm. how differently everyone thinks about things.
Yeah. And even with the self-sacrifice piece of it, like we give into that too, because even if someone is telling us like, oh no, it's not that way, we're like, okay, you're right. Even if like deep down in our heart, we're like, no, I believe this to be different. But I think so much of that, which I find so interesting with the self-sacrifice, is also, and I don't know if other people agree with this, so I'd be really interested in our, to like DM us, let us know if this resonates. But with some of the norms for type twos around always being willing to help other people and self-sacrifice, that's like so cultural to us too. Like as women, as being in a South Asian culture, like we all witnessed a lot of women in those kind of roles self-sacrificing, and that was what was praised. So I think for me, yes, that's so much of my personality, but I also sometimes wonder like how much of that was shaped by my environment.
That's such a good point, because like even for me, yeah, like I agree, like with our culture, it's like almost not only an expectation, but like it's like, oh yeah, it's the norm that like a woman in the South Asian household like will always help out, like, you know, be the first in the kitchen, like to clean up, like more so than the men. So mm-hmm. I guess also it would be interesting to hear like a male's perspective, maybe having the same personality type. Yeah. And also like South Asian and not South Asian.
Totally. And because how much of it is cultural. And then also for both of us in our own ways, because I am an oldest child. So there comes with this responsibility and like the self-sacrifice wanting to help. And then we also discussed with our siblings, I mean, you're the middle child. So like, you're usually the one that's like, kind of like, okay, let's just help both situations. Let's figure this out. And so when I even reflect on our own childhood, because Ravish and I really grew up together. So that's what I think is also really cool about when we reflect on these kind of aspects of our personality, is I can recall and like what Ravisha was like when, you know, she was like 11 and like where she is now. But I think one of the cores of that is that we've always had those kind of personality types.
Yeah. That's like something that's kind of hasn't shifted at all. Like that's kind of our core.
Yeah. Yeah. I found it to be funny. So we can link this article too, but there was this article about the different types of things that Enneagrams talk about in therapy, like what are your emotional wounds? And that I sent to Ravish, and we were like, oh my gosh, that is so us, because for it, it was about self-sacrifice. And so the quote with it is, I must put my needs on the back burner so I can earn love through selfishness and generosity. And this other part from it is, the two learned to not ask for help, not assert their own needs, and to give others more than they gave themselves. In their quest for finding their worth, they often learned to stifle and repress their own desires. Their self-love became conditional upon their earning a sense of worth through taking care of others. It's just like, and then it goes on about how they want to be needed by people, want to feel like they belong, and how that they take on more in their homes to be able to ensure that the people around them take on less. So a lot of what they talk about in therapy is how to navigate their own self-worth, how to set boundaries, like all this stuff that Ravish and I, when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, that is us.
Yeah, it's funny because like that's literally like sometimes how therapy goes, is like how to find my self-worth, and that, like not from people like, you know, giving me that validation, because it's really crazy, because like I am like a type two, like we both are to the T. Like we we both like seek validation from like the people around us like so much, and like from childhood to now, yeah, like we were like not like yeah, goody two shoes, but like definitely always wanted to be the favorite in the class, like wanted to be the most liked among our friends, like that type of stuff. And like how we did that was by like always like being there for like our friends and like others and like our family members, and making sure like at the like we can be a phone call away and like we would jump to help, like those kinds of things. Like that's definitely like something that we've carried into our adulthood.
Totally. And it's like, have you heard that song? My friend, Ravisha knows this friend, her name is Allie. She sent me this song about each Enneagram type, and it's about type two. Have you heard it? Like, it's called like Alas Two.
No, I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. I pulled it up. I'm going to play you just like 1 minute of it. It's a really short song. It's like 2 minutes, okay. But it will, warning. I mean, the first time I listened to it, I cried. So.
Oh, no.
Big Ravisha on the spot. It's so good. I'm going to play it again. We won't play the whole thing, but it's called Alas Two. for you, all of you who's interested. And I'm just gonna play it because this really dives in, like, it kind of like hits on what we just talked about. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Sweetheart, you're good time. When did you rest? Call me to make yourself right at home. Stay as long as you need. Tell me something wrong, if something's wrong, you can come with me. You know, I'll take my heart clean apart if it helps you. It's okay if you can't find the words. Let me take your coat and sway out of your shoulders. Like a force to be reckoned with, a mighty ocean or a gentle kiss. I will love you with every single thing. Like a tidal wave, we'll make a mess. Calm waters, if that serves you best. I will love you without any strings attached. It's okay if you can't catch your breath. You can take the oxygen straight out of my own chest.
We'll take pause there, but isn't that so good?
That's really good. Yeah, I'm like a little emotional too hearing it.
Yeah, it was really, and I think that's why Enneagram tests can be so moving, because you feel seen by them, like in ways that, you know, like sometimes we can't even put like words to how we feel as people, but then you hear songs and you see these tests and, you know, they can really put things into perspective and feel like we're not alone. But yeah, I mean, that you all should listen to that song, and I'll text it to you, Risha, after, but because I only played like a minute and a half of it, but it's just really like, even with the, like, you know, give it, like taking the oxygen off of you to be able to give it to another person, and then like you're tired, and it's just like those kind of things. I was actually telling this to Risha yesterday because she was just, oh my God, my body's exhausted, my mind's exhausted. I mean, Risha has been needing to nap like every day after work, and I'm like, girl, you are exhausted. It's like, and we talked about this in a previous episode, but Risha's like such a good friend. She has so many friends. She does things for everybody. And I'm just like, of course you're exhausted, right? Like, you're giving so much to people, and that's just your nature. And I get that. And I can say that too, because I have been in that position, because I know it's my nature too, that it's like on those times where you're like, I'm so exhausted, or I just keep napping, or I don't know what's going on. It's like, that's your mind's way of, and your body's way of being like, you're giving too much.
Yeah. And that's why I can appreciate Divya so much as well, because like, even in that conversation that we were having yesterday, I was just like telling her how I was feeling. And then she was like, you need to like cool it a little bit. Like, you know, like you're really tired. And like, I think like if anyone else like told me that, like, again, I'd be defensive and get mad, but like, I knew that she was coming from like a good place. And like, I needed to hear that, because like, I think that sometimes, and Divya does the same, that like, we can be so much on autopilot of it just being go, 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 that like, we don't really think about how we're feeling until like it gets so bad when your body's like, you know, physically telling you to slow down, you know, like you can get sick, or, you know, you're maybe having frequent headaches, or like, you know, things like that, like physical things that like are showing you that, hey, like you need to slow down, like you're doing way too much. And yeah, like what Divya said, like, sometimes when like you take like these personality tests and like you see how like you are defined in a way, it makes you feel less alone and like helps you understand that like, oh, like, you know, I'm not by myself in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it just gives you the sense of in the world that like, again, like you just said perfectly, like you're not alone, but it also lets you, like for me, when I read that, I'm like, okay, this is valid for me to feel this way. Cause sometimes I'm like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. Or I know shaming yourself for feeling a certain way is never helpful, but that's one thing that comes up with Enneagrams too, with our type, is that, I'm pulling it back up on the article, is that the way you feel under stress for the types 8, 9, and 1, it's rage. And then for the people who have gut feelings, right? Instincts, you feel rage. For the ones with the heart feelings, like what we are, the 2, 3, and 4s, it's shame. And then for the types of like thinking, logic, 5, 6, 7, it's fear. And so I think we have like a double whammy with it, because already we feel that kind of shame for being like, oh, I feel this way. But then on top of us, for like our personality types, and it comes up for both of us, we feel a lot of shame, especially when under stress, like I should have been able to do this, right? Like I should be capable of dealing with all these things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And like, I think, again, like when it's put in like word form, like, oh, like feeling this way under stress is shame. Like, oh, I'm like, oh yeah, that's 100% me. And it's nice to know that like, it's not just a me thing. It's a whole personality type thing. It just, yeah, like the way it makes you feel is just less alone.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also I think getting to know your friends' personality types, that can also be a way to connect with them. And it's pretty cool because like we said, it can help you understand each other more. And then also to learn for them, right? Like when they're under stress, do they experience like rage, shame? Do they experience fear? What ways do they think? And, you know, personality tests aren't, and I know that's our next topic that we're going to dive into, so I'm not going to give too much now, is like personality tests are a way that we connect with ourselves in the world, but, and they're used in a lot of different like psychological settings, but there's not too much like evidence behind it, right? So like, it's just that people have been doing it to really find a way to connect with each other, connect with themselves. And I'm like, hey, if that works, then it's serving us, and let's keep looking at these personality tests. Like it doesn't have to have a ton of evidence for it to be meaningful.
Yeah, like, again, like, there's, like, so many different psychologists in the past, and they all have come up with, like, some type of their own, like, personality test, and, like, in school, we obviously, like, took, like, every single one of them, and I would say, like, the common theme would be, like, you're still being somewhat defined in the same way, but, like, the way that you take, like, the test is, like, what's different, like, what these psychologists put together, and ultimately though, the results usually were like the same, you know, like the same kind of theme. So like, that's also like, yeah, not much backed up by evidence. And like, there's so much like, again, research and history there, that you can like do a Google search on, but it's the common theme is that like, you'll see that your personality is somewhat defined in like the same way every time.
I mean, before we get, I guess, into the psychology or like the more like the psychological aspect and evidence of testing, do you want to maybe go quickly through what the childhood wounds or what each Enneagram type talks about in therapy, just so like the listeners, if they know their Enneagram type, they can see if it relates to them?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so let's dive into it. And again, this is going to be in the show notes. So if you're more curious, then check that out, because I'm just going to be giving what the quote unquote wound is, emotional wound, and then also a quote that's there, but there's a lot more good information on the article. So if it resonates, go and read that. So the childhood wounds for every Enneagram type. The type one is self-judgment. So a quote that goes with that is, I must strive to follow the rules, be responsible, be reasonable, and catch mistakes before others do. And that's a perfectionist, right? So that kind of makes sense with that. And then the Enneagram type two, which we said is self-sacrifice, which is, I must put my needs in the back burner so that I can earn love through selfishness and generosity. Type three, which I know is the achiever, because Ravisha and I actually, fun fact, we didn't dive on that, but we are 2 wing 3. So there's like wings 2, which is like you are a core of what you're for us, our core is a 2, but then you can take on a wing, which means you take on some of the personality traits of that. So 3 is achiever. So that's how I know that. So Enneagram type 3 is the achiever, and that's rejection of the core self, which is, I must hide my insecurities and feelings with successes and accomplishments, then I'll be worthwhile. The type 4 is rejection of identity, which the quote for that is, I can't be too functional or happy because nobody will see me for who I am. Type 5 is rejection of intimacy, which is, it's not okay to get too comfortable. I must develop mastery in a subject to survive. Type 6 is rejection of trust, which is, it's not okay to trust myself. I won't be safe until I find someone or something to trust. Type 7 is absence of nurturing. So it's not okay to depend on anyone for anything. If I stay distracted, I won't feel my grief. Type 8 is rejection of childhood. And that's, it's not okay to be vulnerable and trust anyone. If I'm totally self-sufficient, I won't get hurt. And type 9 is rejection of their voice, which is it's not okay to assert myself or my needs. If I don't rock the boat, everything will be okay.
Thanks for reading that, Divya. I feel like if you were listening along, you might like maybe resonated with some of those quotes that she read, or like, you know, it might could be multiple of those quotes that you resonated with. So it's like really interesting how like your childhood self also kind of develops and that shapes your personality, and it's like brought on to adulthood.
Yeah. And that these wounds that we have can be carried through our, I mean, through our life. Obviously we don't have to like live with them forever, but you know, things like therapy and just like self-reflection, that can all be really helpful. And even just like understanding our own friends and family's types, it could maybe help you understand their wounds. Like I know for Raj, he's a type 9 and a wing 8, or type 8 wing 9. I know it's like both of those, but the 8 and 9 really resonated with him on the ways that it's not okay to assert myself and my needs. If I don't rock the boat, everything will be okay. Which is kind of ironic that for both of us, it's around our needs and like not asserting our needs, which definitely comes out in our relationship. But, you know, even just reading that for him, it makes me understand and have more compassion for what he can go through too. And so I think that can be helpful in understanding that with our friends and family.
Yeah, because like you and Raj have like talked about how like different you guys are and how like you do things differently sometimes and think in like completely different ways. Like you said, he's more logical, you're more so like on the emotional side, and like you've done a lot of work on to try to understand him, and he's done a lot of work to understand you better. And I think that's what's also really nice about these personality tests, is because again, there's like a definition for how one person like thinks or does things, and when you have that definition in front of you, it's almost like, okay, so like this is how I can better understand Raj in like this way, and then he can do the same.
Yeah. It's like so interesting when you read them, because even when I look at this type 8, you're going to understand this one for him too, that it says it's not okay to be vulnerable or trust anyone. If I'm totally self-sufficient, then I won't get hurt. And that's like so him. Like even sometimes Ruby's just like, what is he feeling? I'm like, I am trying to figure it out.
I know. It's really funny. And like I said, we like do this on like our free time, like talk about like these personality stuff. Like we'll talk about like our siblings or like maybe someone at work, like be like, oh yeah, like such a type, whatever, and like discuss it, because you know, it's like it's just like we're, it's like lighthearted, but it's also like funny at the same time. I don't know, like that's how I see it.
And I think that's why honestly people love these personality tests, because let's be real, a lot of people really getting like really vulnerable and deep is so scary for most people. And personality tests, it kind of is like that, it like flirts the line of getting vulnerable while still being humorous. So people are able to be like, okay, like I can read these personality tests because I'm kind of getting vulnerable, but not vulnerable enough that this is going to be like, I'm too in my feels. So I feel like, especially for our society, it's this perfect way of people just trying to understand themselves in a way that's like, okay, I'm trying to understand myself, but I'm also keeping it at an arm's length.
Yeah. And like, if you're also the type of person that's interested about like history and people of the past, like you can look up like what like famous person each personality type was, or like, you know, how they would define them and stuff too, which I like history a lot. So that's something like, you know, I would do. So just putting that out there, you can also look that up.
That can also be a new hobby of yours.
Yeah.
I mean, let's dive into maybe about personality tests and how they're used in therapy. Like, because I know that's one thing we wanted to talk about in terms of therapy and a little bit more of like the evidence behind personality tests. And I remember when I had taken, it was my career counseling class, because in like when you're doing it there a degree in any type of like therapy or like psychology, you have to do it in career counseling too, because like I'm a mental health counselor, but you could also be a career counselor and work at a school. So we had to take some classes on that. And that really dove into the personality test, because a lot of people use that in terms of understanding like your career goals and like your career strengths and such. And so personality tests are really part of, big part of that field. But in terms of therapy, like we don't use it that much, because honestly, like I said, even earlier, there's not like too much evidence behind it. Like, I don't know. Did you hear the, or do you know the story of the Myers-Briggs test?
I'm not sure.
It was literally written by like a mother and her daughter. Like they like did it for fun. And so, you know, maybe we could make our own personality test, but that just shows with that, right? But I mean, they hit the nail on the head with it. It's pretty good personality test in the way of like, oh, we're all looking to feel validated and seen by something. And I'm not saying it's super off the mark, because it is for me, but it kind of just shows that there are personality tests and tests, yeah, that have like more research behind, like, oh, there were like studies done on it. But I think just also the development of experiments has grown into like from when I'm sure the Myers-Briggs was done. But it's just interesting to think that like they actually don't have a lot of evidence behind it.
Yeah. I feel like developmental psychology is like constantly evolving and changing as well. And like as much as that, like they use studies from the past and stuff, like there's a lot more studies going on, I feel like, now as well, to like maybe like define more things. And so, I mean, yeah, like we've said, like take it with a grain of salt, right? How much do you like take these personality tests seriously and stuff? I mean, like BuzzFeed, which is like a popular website that a lot of people go on for like even like new stuff, like they constantly have those quizzes on like, oh, like which character like from Mean Girls are you, right? And then
what type of cheese are you?
Yeah. And then like it'll have, and it's like, it's, you can define that as a personality test, right? Because like the questions that they'll ask is like, okay, like choose between these four options. Like what's your ideal, like, I don't know, like place to go to dinner or something like that. I obviously have taken a lot of these quizzes, so I know. but like, yeah, like there's like a spectrum of personality tests out there. And I think like our theme for basically what they are is like to make you feel less alone. And like, it's more of a definition of sometimes like if we're trying to define yourself in some way.
Totally. And then, you know, that they serve people in that way. And they, I mean, they serve me so many times in that way of feeling less alone. Like when I read, you know, when they have like the new seasons, they give out like, oh, each Zodiac's prediction. When I see the Aries prediction and it's like, you will be thriving. Like you will hit your goals. You will make new friends. I'm like, heck yeah. Like I feel so good. You know, like if that makes you feel good, that's okay. You can do it. And so,
yeah, like you have to like take everything with like a grain of salt, knowing like it's not all totally like valid and like it's how you perceive it and stuff. It's like what I'm trying to say is exactly. As like Divya and I definitely believe in the Enneagram, and like we really do feel like, you know, we're like type twos, wing three, like we heavily believe that. And like someone else like who maybe is the same type or like similar may not believe that, you know. So it's how much you want to research into it and how much it helps you or doesn't help you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also feels nice with like the Myers-Briggs. I don't remember. So I'm an ENFP for Myers-Briggs. I don't know if you remember what you are for Myers-Briggs. We took that so long ago. I'm curious actually to see if it's different for me. I want to actually retake it because it's been 10 plus years since I've taken a Myers-Briggs test. So it might've changed. But I remember when I first did it and I saw, it was like, I don't know, something in the teens, like I think it was 16 or 18%. It was a decently high percent of the population were ENFPs, and made me be like, oh my gosh, there are other people in the world like me. Just like that feeling too can feel really nice. And a lot of these personality tests come with, this is the approximate population that is, you know, a type two or an ENFP or whatever. And that can feel nice too, with even like feeling connected to the world.
Yeah. And like, maybe for some people who like are struggling to make friends, if they like move to a new city or in general, looking for like a different friend group and stuff, like, honestly, like maybe even just like putting it out there that you're this type of personality type, like that can attract like people that you get along with and stuff and understand them better. I know like sometimes in some work things that they have people take these personality tests and kind of like pair them up in that way as well, like on what projects to like collaborate on and whatnot. I've read about that. So yeah, like I said, like there's so many ways that you can connect with someone on based on these tests.
Yeah, it's such a good way to get conversations started too, or conversations brewing.
Of course. I'm like, we love this topic a lot too. That's why we wanted to make an episode on it. Just because like, yeah, like we're always like, oh, such empaths we are, like always thinking of others and like kind of making fun of ourselves sometimes with who we are. But that's why we like wanted to talk about it today, because it's just like something about us that maybe a lot of people don't know that we like to discuss. And if you're interested in it, we would love to hear like what your personality types are. And yeah, that'd be like really interesting to know who our listeners are.
Totally. And like what you all are, what if you think that even it resonates, like this childhood wounds one, or what are your wings? Like,
yeah.
Feel like there are certain times in your life where maybe your Enneagram has come out more than others. Like all of that would be super interesting to hear about. So in our Instagram post that we make for this episode, we'd love to hear about that. And yeah, I mean, what else, like if there are any other personality tests that you love to do or you drive with, I mean, Ravish and I are obviously always interested in diving into new personality tests. So if you have some ones that come up, we'd love to hear your recommendations.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely will be taking them.
Okay. Well, I guess on that kind of note, this gives everyone something to reflect on one, their personalities, and two, their emotional wounds, which is a really great way that we love to leave a podcast episode. But with the humor of that aside, yeah, this was a really fun episode to do. I'm glad that we did it, and I hope you all enjoyed it.
Me too. And just a quick note in general, we released this is a Tuesday that we're recording on. So we released an episode earlier today. And like, I just want to say a quick thank you to everyone that's been listening to our episodes. I think this is technically episode 8 that we're recording right now. And honestly, I'm having a lot of fun with it. And just to hear some of your guys' feedback on like the messages that we get and stuff, it really means a lot to us. At first, I really thought like there would only be like 5 listeners truly. And it's really, really cool to see like we have listeners like all over the world and how many of you are listening and stuff. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really glad that you brought that up because, yeah, I think that we should definitely open that kind of conversation more and have that gratitude. And I'm glad you said that, Ravisha, because I mean, you all don't even understand. Like, there are times that Ravisha and I are texting each other and are like, oh my God, this podcast got like 15 listeners already. Like, we would have just posted it. And we really were doing this with the intention of just, you know, doing something fun together. We both have a lot of passions in psychology and wellness and self-development. And we wanted to be able to channel that into a way that can help other people feel less alone, because both of us felt really alone in a lot of our struggles. And thankfully we had each other to lean on, but we know not everyone has that space and that authentic space. We wanted to create this. And yeah, we're like in awe all the time. Like, honestly, we have at least one text message like back and forth a day of like, wow, this is so cool. And I'm so glad we're doing it. So I'm really glad you brought that up because, yeah, it's something we talk about a lot. And I really, really want to appreciate each and every one of you who's listening to this and supporting our podcast. And please give us feedback, what you love to hear, what you want to hear more about, because we really take all of that really seriously.
Yeah. When we like even get like any DMs just like saying, thank you for sharing this or anything like that. Like, you guys have no idea, but like, we have so much appreciation for that. It means a lot because like, we know, like, we obviously know how hard it is to like content create and all this stuff. And like, believe it or not, like, we do put a lot of work behind this. Like, the behind the scenes of this is actually kind of funny and messy. And so it's like, you should see us on Mondays. I think that's when we're like the most, like, we get kind of stressed and we're like, okay, got to make sure we do this, this, and that before like our episode releases. And it's a lot of fun. And yeah, that's why I just wanted to say thank you so much.
Thank you all. I so appreciate it. And yeah, please follow us on @conversationsbrewing on Instagram if you haven't already, so you can send us DMs, let us know your thoughts on the episodes. And then you can follow Ravisha and I too. I'm @MindMattersWithDiv and Ravisha's @RaisedWithRavisha. And on top of that, we will add all of the links that we talked about into the show notes.
Okay. Sounds good. Oh my God, I see Kobe in the back.
I know, it was really funny. I tried to like hold my laughter because like 10 seconds before this, do you see how he switched positions? Yeah. For all of you who's not there, Kobe's in the background. Ravisha, if you want to take a picture of this and we can maybe post it on our Instagram story when this episode goes live so people can know what moment we're talking about.
Yes, I will definitely do that. Because he looks so cute. Yeah,
look at him sleeping. We're going to post this on our Instagram story on the day of the launch, when it launches, this episode launches. But Kobe was sleeping in a different position, and then he just went into this position. And when he, like, switches positions, he groans a little. So he was like, and so I heard that noise, and I tried to not laugh, but Ravisha saw him.
So cute. Okay, well, on that, you guys, we'll have another episode for you then.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
raise a spoon to Grandma, who always took all the hungry cousins to McDonald's for McNuggets and the play slide. Have something sweet in her honor. Come to McDonald's and treat yourself to the Grandma McFlurry today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.